We are back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN and getting acquainted with our guests here, the new Animal Services Director, Bryce Kulk, and Eddie Eastis, Director of Parks and Rec. And Dave's getting acquainted with Luca, the kitten.
Luca has made the tour around the studios. I have put in the request for a station mascot, but that was rejected. So I was told that animals that poop inside don't belong inside. I'm like, going, that's the best kind of animal to have. But Lucas, he's gotten a lot of attention around here from the, we have, it's probably about 50-50 cat lovers here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people are, they're getting around saying, hey, yeah, bring me Luca. So anyway, I lost my dog here, you know, as I said, a couple of weeks ago, and so my cat's a little bit lonely. We have a candidate, or a cat-didate.
Well, I mean, that kind of gives me a prime opportunity to go into our holiday adoption specials.
It's a great time.
Yeah. So our kittens like Luca that are under a year are only $50 right now, fully vetted.
Really?
Yeah. So
now, when you say fully vetted, that means shots, neutered,
dewormed, microchipped. Yep.
Luca loves headphone cables.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. So the under a year cats are $50. Over a year are $25, and then all of our dogs a year and over are only $50 through the end of the year.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I happen to. Got a $50 bill in my wallet.
Well, perfect.
That might work.
Bryce touched on earlier, but our relationship with K-State, you know, allows us to make sure that the animals are properly cared for, healthy. When people come to adopt those, you know, it's a quality animal. And we're really proud of that relationship with K-State. They're in the facility at the shelter 2 days a week. Minimum, and commonly also have a vet in their other days. Tuesdays and Thursdays, they perform various required surgeries, but other days they're there just doing animal management. So again, as you're holding Luca, you can have a lot of assurance that that is a healthy, you know, adoptable animal, and we're very grateful for that relationship with K-State that helps provide, you know, quality care so that people, when they adopt, are getting a quality animal.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I see here on your outline here, you've got some new approaches to managing intakes at the shelter.
Yeah, correct. So instead of just, you know, kind of being a drop-off site, essentially, we set up a consultation with owner surrenders wanting to surrender their animal and just really sit down with them one-on-one and figure out what's going on that they came to us. You know, if it's low on money and not being able to get pet food or cat litter, we have those in our pet food bank that we can give out to the public to kind of get them by so they don't feel like they have to surrender their animal for lack of care, as well as giving them resources in the community of, you know, a list of local veterinarians, a list of local trainers, those sort of things to help them keep their animal in their home.
Yeah, so important if that can at all be attained. And I've seen the – oh, we have a call? Okay. I'll go back. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yeah. You were talking about a chip earlier to be implanted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In a dog. Does that locate the dog, or does it just identify who the owner is?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so that they're not a tracker. They just identify, so –
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be a good idea if it tracked.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. And it's probably good to note that, you know, we're talking about the bank, the animal food bank. You guys have taken a lot of donations. I've seen that there's even like a little drop-off spot there in the front, mm-hmm, of the shelter that you can just slide things in, right?
So we don't have our drop-off boxes anymore.
Oh, okay.
We've revamped that area for volunteers, but we certainly can take in donations anytime staff are on site. And if somebody was to drop off after hours, I mean, they can certainly set it at the front door and we can grab it in the morning.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. And your hours, what are your shelter hours right now?
We are open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 1 to 5. We're a little short staff now, so we're now closed on Wednesdays to the public so that we have time to make sure that we are providing all the necessities to the animals in the shelter.
All right. And as far as animals on your roster right now, what would you say is your count at last check? Do you have that?
I know that we have 5 dogs right now in the shelter, and I believe a lab mix that came in as a stray. So if anybody's missing a lab, we had one come in over the weekend. And then I think about a dozen cats. So.
Okay. So that's really, that is very low compared to some of the other numbers we've had in the past when mm-hmm. we've had the animal shelter on here. So that's great to know. And you mentioned the sale here for Luca and $50, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not bad at all. Fully vetted. And that's a huge benefit. And we thank the animal shelter for that. Anything else on the animal shelter that we should know about we haven't gotten to?
I mean, the only real other thing that I can say is if you're not looking to adopt and you're still looking for a way to help be a part of the shelter and help us out, you know, you can like us on Facebook, share the animals posts and events that are happening at the shelter. You can go to the city website and you can see animals that are for adoption as well as our Amazon wish list. Donating, volunteering, those are all ways to help support the shelter as well.
All right. Very good. Well, Eddie, I know you've got a few things lined up here also for Parks and Rec. You know, it's winter time, so there's a lot of stuff indoors happening. And let's talk about, first of all, holiday hours.
Sure. We have, of course, a variety of facilities within Parks and Recreation. It is important. We will have adjusted days that will be open with the holidays coming up. As an example, the Discovery Center, they'll be closed the 24th and the 25th. But they will be open New Year's Eve, and they'll be open New Year's Day. And just, you know, want to highlight one of their activities. They have an exciting, you know, it's a family New Year's Eve activity. It's Friday, December 31st from 6:30 to 9 inside the Flint Hills Discovery Center. And they're titling it a prehistoric party, and it's an annual family-friendly celebration to ring in the new year. There is a cost for it, but you can go online and see that activity if that might have some interest for you at mhkprd.com on the Flint Hills Discovery Center page.
Something to be able to do
on New Year's Eve for the family. But I also want to point out our recreation centers, Anthony Recreation Center, Eisenhower Recreation Center, Douglas Activity Center. They will also be closed on the 24th and the 25th, as well as January the 1st. Sunset Zoo, they'll be closed the 24th and 25th, but will be open as well as January 1st. And on those rec centers, you know, they're fairly new to the community. I think it's interesting to understand and see what type of attendance we've been receiving. Anthony Recreation Center, Eisenhower Recreation Center, Douglas Activity Center for the month of November. And I'm going to include the ice rink because it's kind of a temporary seasonal activity. But we had more than 8,000 people that attended just a daily admission those facilities through November, which I think is a good number to see. People are finding the facilities. They're utilizing the facilities. There's more use than that 8,000. That 8,000 is just through the door daily walk-in traffic. We have programs in those facilities. We have rentals that are occurring with those facilities. So the actual numbers are even greater. But I think that daily, you know, off the street, through the door of those 4 facilities at over 8,000 for the month of November is a good number. And I'm proud to be able to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. I went there about a week or so ago with my kids in the evening. They wanted to get on the basketball courts. They were all booked up, so we went to the walking track instead. But yeah, we're so glad to have that as an opportunity in our community.
Mm-hmm. It's been important, these facilities, to be able to provide a place for people to go, youth of the community, for places to go. I was at Anthony Recreation Center Friday as Anthony Middle School lets out, and we quickly have 75 to 100 kids that will come through the door and start utilizing the facility. Again, it gives them a safe environment, a nice place to be able to, you know, continue their day. And you know, we're happy to provide those facilities. And again, the community is utilized in them, and I'm happy to see that.
Yeah, I am too. That is a great addition to our community here. Just in the past year, because Anthony opened in May, Eisenhower opened in September.
Yes, it was later. The Douglas Center back in March. It was the first one actually to open. It doesn't have the as many hours available. We continue to deal with low staff numbers, number of applicants. I think everybody across the community, across the state, is you know, facing the same situations. But we have open positions all across our department, all across our city. You know, as Bryce even referred to at the animal shelter, we've had to reduce our hours a little bit just to make sure that we have adequate staffing. We use a lot of seasonal employees, a lot of college students that help with our recreation centers. So I hope we'll be able to continue with quality hours 7 days a week at those facilities. But it certainly is based on our ability to be able to adequately staff and continue to have issues with having enough staff. So anybody out there looking for some part-time work, please, City of Manhattan website. We have plenty of opportunities.
All right, very good. How much longer will the ice rink be open?
We keep it open. I don't know the exact ending date, but typically through February.
Okay.
And then we disassemble. You know, again, we have to build that facility. It's inside the Weefald Pavilion. It's not there year-round. It's just a seasonal facility, so we'll take it down in the February time frame. We usually go through a number of rentals, but then in the summertime, we have Little Apple Day Camp that is in that facility, and we'll put 75 to maybe 150 kids that are in that facility every single day.
Okay, that's really cool. I've got to know, with an ice rink, do you have a Zamboni?
We don't.
No?
We've always wanted to have one. The rink is a little small for it, really. Years ago, we had some very creative staff members, and they used an electric, what I would call a golf cart, utility cart, and they created and built their own Zamboni, we called it. It was not a real one. We couldn't recreate it, and it worked for quite a while. Getting the ice scraped is a challenge, and we do most of that by hand now, and just continually put new water on it to help that smooth. But it's a nice place. We have a lot of people that attend every day. We typically are open whenever school is not in session. We'll open earlier in the day. But it's a popular place. It's fun even to go by in the evening times because you can see in the ice rink from the outdoor and see all the kids enjoying themselves.
Well, it certainly is neat to see that. And thank you for bringing in Luca. We really appreciate having the animal back in studio. And it's nice to meet you too, Bryce.
Yeah, it was nice to meet you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, guys. That's going to wrap up our show. Come up tomorrow, Riley County going to be featured. Catherine Folke will be our guest.